Hallelujah. I don't know if you've recognized anything, but Jesus is in the house today. Yeah. Why do we worship? We worship to usher in the presence of the Almighty God, first and foremost, right? But something happens when we worship. Not only does God come in, but the stuff that we brought into the house or watched online, everything the world heaped on us this past week, worship pushes it out so God can come in. That's exactly what happens. And the more we allow the presence of the Almighty to come in, and you see people coming down to an altar, the more the world is pushed away. I choose the Jesus way today, folks. I don't know if you see it, but there's a new thing coming. I think we need to sing that song again. There's a new thing coming. It's not what Jesus did yesterday. It's what he's going to do right here today. Church, let's celebrate a new thing coming.
Thank you. Thank you for the new things you are doing in this place, God. Hallelujah.
Somebody's got to profess, I've got a new thing coming. Amen. You've got to confess that over your life today. If it's a healing, I got a healing. If it's a financial miracle, I'll take the financial. If I need something in my marriage, if I need a job, if I need a new job, if I need whatever I need, I just believe there's new things coming for Cross Point Church. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something's happening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Yep. Yeah, well, you're in a full gospel church today. We've talked about that before. The outpouring of a tongue unknown to us. And then the gift of somebody that knows how to interpret, all led by the divine calling from heaven. We're not afraid of it. We don't make excuses for it, church. The Bible tells us that there's giftings. Some people can speak in unknown tongues and other people can interpret that. Why? To edify the body of Christ, that's you and I. And I'm edified today. There's things that we were just told that we're holding back on. Do you have the faith? We're speaking today. The title of my message is What's on Your Mind? God's just doing exactly that this morning, church. He's asking you what's on your mind. That means, what are your thoughts? What do you need? I am here. That's exactly what the message was. Church, what's on your mind today? God wants a dialogue with you. So as we go to heaven in prayer, I want you to just be asking yourself, Lord, this is what's on my mind. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know what's on my mind today. You and I have been having this dialogue for weeks and weeks. Lord God, I pray for everybody at Cross Point Church today, both here in the worship center and so many people watching online. Lord God, I just pray that the dialogue between heaven and them of what's on their mind, Lord God, it's an open communication that you want to know. Lord God, we're not saying you don't already know, but I know the scripture teaches us you want a dialogue. You want to hear from us. So Lord God, today, as your message came in to Cross Point Church, Lord God, you want to know. Lord God, I pray right now that each and every one of us today lets you know what's on our mind, Lord God, because you want us to confess it to you. You want an open dialogue with heaven. Lord God, I just pray that we give you that today, both here at Cross Point, here today, and at home, at work, wherever we are throughout the weeks, Lord God, that you continue to ask us, what's on your mind today? I'm here for you. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, give heaven some praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You go back to your seats today and you look at somebody and you say, I've got something on my mind I'm going to start praying for. I got something on my mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Charles, so much. I just need one. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Cross Point Church. We've been to church already. Yes, we have. I tell you what, this past week has been wonderful. You look outside and you see the sun and you see that the temperatures are in the 60s and 70s. God, thank you. You know exactly what's on my mind. And you come in and deliver, right? Yeah, amen. Hey, it's so great to see you this morning. God's got something happening here at Cross Point Church. I'm sure you're feeling it. I'm sure you're seeing it. I am just so willing to let God be God, and I pray that you do the exact same thing. Thank you for being here. There were storms this morning, and I just pray, God, don't let that keep people away. So if you're here, thank you so much, and thank you so much for joining us online. You are part of Cross Point Church all throughout the nation, the countries that we're serving and broadcasting into. Thank you so much. We appreciate you greatly. Hey, if you want to follow along today, there is the sermon notes, the message notes. I think there's a QR code on the image on your bulletin. You can just scan that and follow along if you like, or just do it later on this week. Listen to the podcast. Watch the service again at cpoint.church. Watch it again on Facebook. And the word is that Facebook's not going to be holding our services more than 30 days in the future, so you might have to jump over to YouTube or check them out at cpoint.church. God's got a new thing coming. Are you excited about that? Yes. I am excited. Year of Impact 2025 here at Cross Point Church. That is the time that God's going to pour something new for us, fresh and new, especially during a year of impact. Last week we started a series called Thoughts. What are you thinking, right? The title was I Am Thinking. We want impact to require us to change the way we think. And that's what we talked about a little bit last week. We said the first thing Jesus preached wasn't about miracles, blessings, or prosperity. It was about change the way you think. Matthew 4:17 said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He is the kingdom of heaven, right? He is near. Now you've got to think a little bit differently than we thought before. And that's what we were talking about last week. I was thinking, but do we think like God? And we talked about how does God think, and we think it's too late. I'm done. I don't have any hope. I'm tired. I can't make it. God says, I'm with you even in the darkest moments. We think like this in panic. I've been struggling for a long time. Where is God? Where's God? God thinks in timing, not in panic. I'll show up exactly when you need me to be there. The way you think affects the way we live. If our thinking is off, our lives are off. We talked about three ways that our thoughts differ from God's thoughts. We think short term, God thinks long term. We think comfort, desire, and success. God thinks love, service, and sacrifice. We think what's in it for me, God says what's in it for me. Isn't that how we think, folks, a lot of times? What's in it for me? God says it's about me. Right? So today, we're moving through this series, and you already know the title. It's What's on Your Mind? What is on your mind? Would it be scary if the pastor could read your mind? See there? Yes. Well, I can. No, I can't. Right? But wouldn't that be something? I come into church on a Sunday morning, and I knew what you're thinking. And I can see what's on your mind. Some of you, I'd say, hey, great. Some of you, I'd say, whoa. Wow. I don't want to, it'd be scarier if you knew what was on my mind, right? Pastor. Yeah, right. Yep. But God doesn't allow us to do that. But God knows what's on your mind. And we're going to talk about that today. Psalm 139:23 reads like this. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The psalmist David here, he's saying, listen, you know, all this stuff going on in our lives, he's going right to heaven and saying, Lord, test me. That's what try means in that scripture. It says, test me. And it means test my thoughts. You want to know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking? So test me. I am ready for the test. Try me. That's what it means. It means test what's on my mind, my thoughts. How would you like God start to test your thoughts today? How would you like God to come in and say, I know exactly what you think, because he does, and start testing you. See, what's on your mind doesn't appear in the Bible verbatim. That phrase is not in the Bible, but it does represent virtually all the questions that God asks his people to understand their thoughts, to understand their emotions, and their beliefs. He asks questions like, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? Where are you? Where's your faith? And the list goes on and on and on. See, these are open-ended questions that allow us to share our thoughts with heaven. He knows the answer to the question, but the question is not for heaven, for God. It's for you and I. He wants you to start thinking about going to him with the dialogue, what's on your mind, your thoughts. He wants you to share the thoughts. He wants that engagement with you, that conversation. He asks questions because it's an invitation for self-reflection. We don't like that. See, we don't like when God wants self-reflection. And self-reflection's on our mind a lot. So God will come in there and ask us questions about our self-reflection. He wants to get us speaking to him. He'll ask questions to encourage us, to open up some honest communication. So you may get a question from heaven, like your pastor or somebody you know real close will come up to you, just say something, you know, we don't know, we just say, and God's using us to speak a question to you. And God wants to hear your honest and open communication with him. God will use anybody or anything to get to you. And sometimes we don't even realize that that person or the situation is God speaking to us. Got to get you thinking. What's on your mind today? It exposes hidden thoughts and motives. Are you kidding me? Are you going there? Are you doing that? Right? It's an invitation to faith, a deeper understanding of the things of God. Don't you want more of me? Can you take a little bit more? Can we go a little bit deeper? All the questions is an invitation for your thoughts. It's an invitation for your thoughts. God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from all of us. What's on your mind today, church? Right? So there's a study about thoughts. You'll have 60 to 70,000 thoughts an hour. You don't even realize it. Now, I know exactly what you're thinking. I don't have the mental capacity to put 60 to 70,000 thoughts in my head. But you do. God ordained you to think a lot. Right? That's a lot of thoughts. That's like, what, 48 thoughts? Like, that's a lot of thoughts. 48 thoughts. I'm trying to do the math in my head. I can't think that good. Right? Some people say, it can't be an hour, it's got to be a day. It can't be a day, it's got to be a month. It can't be a month, it's got to be a year. No, it's God's given you the mental capacity to think. So with all that going on in there, don't you think God wants to know about some of that stuff and you to talk back to him? I want to hear your thoughts. The number one factor that shapes our thoughts is what we focus on. So we've got all these thoughts going on, and the number one thing is that affecting those thoughts. So you'll take all those thoughts, right, and you'll start to focus on these things. You'll start pulling them out. You're going to focus on those. You're going to see that today, right? Number one factor that affects what we focus on is what we desire. Yeah, some of you desire one thing, some desire another. What's desire mean? That means what your heart truly longs for. My wife truly longs for me, right? right? And I truly long for my wife. So all those thoughts, you know, there are thoughts in there about my wife and my family, right? Being a pastor, all that, you know, there's thoughts, and what am I going to do this week? And, you know, and sometimes we'll get lost in those thoughts, and we'll forget about the one who put the thought there in the first place. God wants to hear from us. Goes like this: what our heart desires most is what we focus on, which makes up most of our thoughts. See, our heart desires, and then we get this focus, and there's your thoughts. So you remember the thoughts that you focus on and you desire, and the other ones you kind of push aside. Sometimes, deep in those thoughts, God's got some things there he wants to discuss with you. God might be focusing on some things over here, and you may be focusing on some things over here. God keeps asking you, what's on your mind today? There's a couple different types of thoughts God taught us. A couple types of things that we focus on. Look at Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Right away, there's the focus. There are two types of major focuses, like the things of heaven, the things of earth. Sometimes what you're thinking is a lot of things about the things of earth instead of things of God. God wants to get that to be a little bit more balanced of those 40 to 50 to 60,000 thoughts running in our head. He wants to balance that out. So he's going to do things to balance that out. Like, I can't even balance. I've got so many thoughts. I love that God's just looking for me, right? Paul wrote that scripture in prison. It says, set your mind on things in heaven and not things on earth. Wow, he's in prison. It's a heavy scripture, right? Matthew explains it in Matthew 6:21. He says, for where your treasure, that's your focus. That's what that means. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching us kingdom living. Kingdom living. It's different than worldly living. It's completely different. He's talking about kingdom living. Heavenly living, right? Living for the kingdom of heaven is what he's talking about. That word treasure means whatever you're focused on. Whatever your thoughts are, where your focus is. See, it goes like this. If your heart is set on worldly things, your perspective will be worldly. If your heart is set on godly things, your perspective will be godly. Ever hear this phrase? Man, you need the focus. You need to focus, right? We hear that. Come on, Pastor, focus. Focus on all those thoughts. We're talking about this today. You got to focus on this today. You got to focus on this thing from heaven. This is what our focus, you got to focus, Pastor. Come on, focus. Ever hear that? Mm-hmm. But there are things that influence what you focus on in your head, right? There's things that influence that. What we consume into our thoughts affect what we focus on. You know, when I was growing up, it was TV, right? It's TV. We watch TV, cartoons on a Saturday morning, right? I told you before, I was a Bugs Bunny, Flintstones fan, right? What we consume today, it's not like that. It's more social media. It's more stuff online. We consume ourselves. What influences our focus? Right there. Stuff there, right? That influences how you focus. Why is that? Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. That's what the writing was in Colossians. You know, there's heavenly things and there's earthly things. What are we going to focus on? What are you thinking today? What do we focus on? This morning during worship, we had some guys that started coming down to the altar, praise the Lord, and right? Kind of tickled me a little bit because the altar started to fill up. I thought there was going to be a competition this morning. This is what I'm thinking, right? That's what's on my mind. Why? All the guys are over here, right? And all the ladies are over here. Right? Is that not right? Now, the people online, you probably didn't notice that and see that, but we had a competition starting. That's what was on my mind. I'm like, what's going on here, Lord? And in the middle is nothing. I'm thinking, whoa. Now, I do notice that the center here of the altar, you know, with our cameras and our broadcast for online, so, you know, by now the TV screens on the left and right of you are the broadcast screens. Everyone on the broadcast is watching that. You see that here at the house. The screen behind me is for you. But in the middle is where people would not come because it's like, you know, parting the Red Sea, right? So no one's going to be in the middle. Why? Because you can see you on the broadcast, right? Pastor's bald heads on the broadcast, right? I don't want that. So the guys, I just was wondering today, folks, what's on my mind is why all the guys were over here, ladies were over here. And I just appreciate the ladies that finally said, I've got to go down to the altar. But I noticed that they didn't come over here. They went over there. So your pastor has something on his mind this morning. What's going on, right? We're going to find out, right? You betcha. What else do we focus on? Our environment influences our focus. Our environment. What's that mean? People we hang with. People we hang with, right? I noticed that. I thought about that in my notes for this morning, the people we hang with. All the guys are hanging over here. All the ladies are hanging over here, right? Your environment influences what you focus on in your thoughts, right? Your environment, church, job, family, friends, right? That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company will corrupt good character. That's why it says that, right? Spiritual warfare influences our focus in all those thoughts. Spiritual warfare. John 8:44 talks about the devil. It's not going to be on the screen, but it talks about the devil as the father of all lies and the father of doubt and fears. That spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't want you down at the altar on a Sunday morning. It's the last place he wants you. He doesn't even want you to just come to church. He doesn't want you to turn on your broadcast from home if you can't make it or you're not local to Cross Point Church. He doesn't want you doing that. He doesn't want you watching this broadcast or coming into the, and then when you get here, if you get through that and something's on your mind, like I'm going to church today, I'm not going to let the rain and the storm stop me, I'm going, and then you come down to the altar, doesn't want that. That's the focus. She doesn't want that. Goodness gracious, don't raise your hands in church during the worship. Don't say amen when the pastor's preaching. Don't do that. We don't want to get involved in that spiritual warfare. We're not ready. What's on my mind? I can't handle that, right? Can't do it. I'm not going to go there. That influences our thoughts. What we focus on reinforces what's on our mind, and that leads to captivity on the earthly side or freedom on the heavenly side, right? Paul has a scripture. I used it a couple weeks ago. I want to say it again because I want to dive a little bit deeper into it this morning. Philippians 4:8. He says, listen, here's what you think about. Now, I set you up for this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. That means focus on such things. We stop there, like we don't go a little deeper. Let's go a little bit deeper and talk about that just for a second because we're going to need it here in a minute. True. That means God's word or the world's lies. That's what it means. God's word is true. Focus there because the world is going to lie to you. Now, maybe somebody doesn't realize that today. That the world doesn't tell the truth. Right? Anybody not know that? They don't, but God's word is true. So he's saying, focus on that because the other things are going to let you down. He says, noble. What's noble? I gotta tell you, folks, I'm really noble. You know, what is that? Noble means it's Christ-like. Character. It's Christ-like character. So he says, why don't you exhibit Christ-like character and focus on that? And he uses the word right. That means righteousness and have some integrity. I love the word integrity. I feel like integrity is like a barometer, like some type of measure, right? I don't know, it's just me, it's the way I think, right? It's on my mind. I think it's like this barometer, and this integrity thing is, you know, some of us have not a whole lot of integrity, but others have all kinds of integrity. I don't know, it's just me. Paul says, you gotta have integrity and righteousness, right? He talks about pure, guarding your thoughts against sin and corruption. He talks about being lovely. It means love God and love others. Full of love. What's on your mind today? Love is what he's saying. He says admirable. Would you be proud if other people knew your thoughts? He uses the words excellent and praiseworthy. Are you focused on things that bring glory to God? Is that your thought pattern today, church? As we move on, here it is. What's the most famous what's on your mind question in the scripture? Now, I've used it before. I've talked about it before. But it is like the most famous, like I think anyway. I'm not saying that, you know, the world or God's. But this is like it starts right in Genesis. And here it is. Genesis 3:9, but the Lord God called to man, where are you? Adam sinned, he's hiding from God, right? So where are you? And it's talking about location. We talked about this before. We talked about location, but he's really talking about your spirit. What is on your mind spiritually is what he's really talking about. Where are you spiritually? What's on your mind, Adam? Because you just messed up. Like the most famous one, where are you? Church, where are you today? What's on your mind? Where are we? It's a church, right? You got a new thing coming, Pastor, right? Other examples is Elijah in the cave. He's hiding, right? 1 Kings 19:9, and the word of the Lord came to him. That's God showing up. What are you doing here, Elijah? Queen Jezebel, like the greatest queen ever, right? She's nasty, right? She wants this guy dead. And he's having a little bit of things on his mind, and he's shaking a little bit, so he takes off running for 40 days, the Bible says. He takes off. He heads to Mount Sinai. Boy, that's kind of unique where the Ten Commandments show up, right? And he finds this cave, and Elijah hides in the cave. Location? It's like Adam, hiding, location. He's also hiding spiritually because God didn't want him there. God wanted him to doing other things. And God shows up, the Bible says, and he asks the question, what is on your mind? But he asks it like this. What are you doing here? Now, that's a question that some of us need God to ask us. What are you doing here? Not only location, but spiritually. What are you doing here? I need you here. I don't need you hiding in a cave. What are you thinking? What's on your mind, Elijah? I didn't instill heaven in your life for you to hide out in a cave. Get out of here. Get up and get moving. It changed the way Elijah would be thinking. What did he do? He got up and he got moving. That's a question that some of us need to get us up and get us moving. The number one factor then that affects all three of these things, thoughts, focus, and desire, is this thing, get ready, called emotions. Now, I know nobody here is emotional. And there's nobody watching online that is emotional, right? Nobody. No one's emotional. Ever hear this phrase? You're too emotional. Man. Nick, I love you. But man, you're too emotional, right? Well, I'm just using you, right? Anything you say could be used in a sermon, right? Right? You're just too emotional. Man, I know we're kind of having a discussion, but man, that emotion, you're just too emotional. Ever hear? Yeah, too emotional. God created emotions, right? How can you be too emotional? Boy, that affects your thoughts, that affects your focus, that affects on what you're thinking, those 40, the 50, the 60,000 thoughts in your head, there's emotion starts to really make them different, right? What about this thought? Emotions shape how you view the, pardon me, emotions shape how you view the world and think about information and make decisions. They influence memory, recall, attention, and even reasoning. God created them, but boy, I tell you what, you're being so emotional, that could really get in the way sometimes, right? It triggers dopamine and serotonin in your brain to make you think different, right? Emotions distort the fight and flight reflex in your life. Whew, Elijah had that, and he took off for 40 days and ended up in a cave. His emotions got the best of him. His fear and doubts and all that, he takes off running. His thinking got distorted. That's what emotions does to you sometimes. It distorts your thinking patterns. It leads to biases that you really don't have, but you're so emotional. Emotions, you know, how we feel alters how we interpret situations. How we feel interprets, right? It alters how we interpret situations. Man, does it really do that, Pastor? You betcha. It does. If you're an emotional person, just raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that's exactly what, there's my wife, right? She's waving at me, right? That's exactly what it does. It does. Right? The youth are even here say, yep, Pastor, that's on my mind. That's exactly what it does, right? Adam had that, right? Elijah had it. We have it, right? The Bible speaks often about emotions. It's a natural part of life. It's a natural part of human life. God expressed emotions, right? He did. The Bible says he expressed love, anger, joy, compassion, etc. It's part of God's design that you're emotional, right? The Bible does not condemn emotions, but it teaches us to manage them wisely. I don't know about that, folks, right? To align them with God's truth, bring them before him in prayer. Instead of being led by emotions, Christians are called to be led by the Spirit, right? And trust in God's word and the foundation for your decision-making and inner peace. Mike will talk to you about that, being led by the Spirit, and things on Wednesday night at Cross Point Alive. You want to be alive, you should show up this Wednesday night because there's a new thing coming. Right? So, question. Are men and women emotional? Of course, right. We talked about that, right? So here's the big question. What emotion, if it affects our focus and our thoughts and what we're thinking and what we're doing for God, what emotion is expressed more in men? Right? Express more. It doesn't mean that's the emotion that dominates them. I'm asking the question of what do men express more emotionally? Oh, I heard the word anger. It is anger. Number one expressed emotion in men is anger. I got a beef with that. I don't know about that. But that's what the research says, right? That men, now that means they express it more than women. It doesn't mean it's the dominant emotion inside of them, but they express anger more. Right? I never get angry. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Nick, do I get angry a whole lot? Nah. Honey, do you think I should wear this outfit to church today, tomorrow? It's lovely. Does it make me look fat? Right? No. I don't want anger expressed to me. It's the ritual in our house every Saturday night as I'm preparing, continuing my sermon, you know, sitting in my chair. She comes out, just expresses some emotion. This looks really good on me, doesn't it? Whew. Sure. It looks great. Right? That's exactly what happens. And men, though, express anger. I don't like that at all. Oh, really? What's the emotion expressed for women? Love and empathy, number one, expressed emotion. Well, we got an imbalance here. That's why the men were over here during worship and the women were over here, right? Angry? Maybe. Love? I don't know. They weren't loving on the guys, right? But that's the number one. Does that affect your thoughts, your focus? Absolutely. You betcha. Right? You betcha. Close second for the women is anxiety and sadness. So, let's dive in as we wrap up our message today. Let's dive into some Bible questions. A whole bunch of scriptures I'm going to give you this morning. And I want to know what's on your mind. I want you to think about these scriptures and see if you're there this morning or anytime. I want to know. Now, you don't necessarily have to come tell me, but what's on your mind? Are you talking to God about it? You're going to find yourself today, folks. You're going to find yourself, as I give you some scriptures and some of the questions from heaven, you're going to find yourself in there. God is speaking to us. What's on our mind? I want to hear from you, right? Luke 24, 38. Why are you troubled? And why do you doubts arise in your hearts? Jesus is appearing after he was crucified and he's resurrected. He's appearing to some disciples. Why do you doubt? That's what's on your mind, doubt. Why do you doubt? I'm here, right? Why do thoughts arise in your head that it couldn't be me? Why do you doubt? Genesis 4:6 says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? I don't know. Maybe because I just killed somebody? Folks, I hope that's not in here, right? Or watch it online today. I hope not. God shows up in a bad, bad moment. Why are you so angry? What's going on? Do a little dive into that and you'll get a... Mark 4:40, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The storm's raging in the waters. Jesus has taken a nap. And they wake him up. Teacher, teacher, look what's going on. Why can you how can you sleep? It's just us, what's on our mind, right? Father, Father, where are you? I got this situation in my life. Are you sleeping? Well, what's up? Where are you? And the answer is, don't you have any faith? Is that you today? I could take a snooze on the boat. I've empowered you. And you have seen what I do. And you're now with me today. You can stop the storm. You don't need me, folks. He's empowered us. The Bible says you will do greater things than I ever did on the face of the earth. Go do them. That's what the scripture says. As Jesus is leaving, right? Go do them. You have the power through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? What's on your mind? Is that on your mind? Or is fear, doubt on your mind today? Right? What about some questions from heaven about honesty and reflection? Oh, there's the self-reflection stuff again, right? Luke 24, 17. He's asking them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Jesus appearing to the disciples after his resurrection. They don't recognize him, right? And they're having this conversation. This guy shows up, what are you discussing? What's on your mind? Is doubt there? Is fear there? Or do you really trust what I said? That I will rise again. Do you trust that? Church, do you believe that? Do you have faith now in your head? Is that one of your thoughts today? That scripture there when he says, what are you discussing, is literally meaning what is on your mind. You're having a conversation, but what are you really thinking? What's really on your mind? Jesus, they didn't recognize him, wants to know what's really on your mind. Not because he doesn't know, but because he wants you to have dialogue with him. Is why. That's honest reflection, right? John 5:6, when Jesus saw him, lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Hey, do you want to be healed?" Another literal question from Jesus, what's on your mind? The paralyzed man, right, by the pool of Bethesda, been there for years and years and years. And Jesus shows up and asks that question. He's asking, what's really on your mind? That means, do you really believe at some point you're going to get healed? I believe it, Lord. I believe it. That's on my mind today, Lord. Is that on your mind? And Jesus is asking the question, do you really want to get healed? Do you really believe? Do you really have faith to stand and rise again? What's on your mind? What about questions that expose your heart and your intentions in your heart? Mark 2:8 says, why are you thinking these things? Why are you thinking these things? Jesus is inside the house. You know the story. Friends are bringing a paralyzed man. They lower him from the roof down to Jesus so they couldn't get in the door. And there's so many people. And they had to figure out another way to get him close to Jesus. And they're lowering him, right? And what does Jesus say first? He doesn't say, rise and walk. He says, your sins are forgiven. Because that's more important than saying, rise and walk. And so that scripture is, you know, there's what we call silent doubt. That's what that means. There's silent doubt in the room. Who is this guy to tell somebody your sins are forgiven? And seconds later, does he say, rise up and walk? You're healed? What's on your mind today? Is there silent doubt in the house or online today? Is one of those thoughts in your head silent doubt? I don't believe it can happen to me. I don't believe I can get healed. I don't believe that the miracle will show up. I don't believe that my marriage will get reconciled. I just have silent doubt. I'm here to tell you, God knows what's on your mind, and he doesn't want you to have silent doubt. See, he's going to do anything he can, folks, to get to you, to make you open up and talk to him, because he doesn't want silent doubt. He wants victory in your life. I don't want silent doubt. I want victory. And he'll do whatever he can, whatever he has to do, pardon me, to get you to open up and not give this silent doubt. What about questions that challenge us? Our belief, our trust in God, Matthew 9:28. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Jesus approaches the house, right? The blind man comes up to him and says, you know, he wants healed. And, you know, he knows his thoughts. He knows what he's thinking, but the guy comes up anyways. Do you really believe it? Is that really what you believe? You know the story. Jesus makes him wait just a little bit before healing takes place. And that's what happens to a lot of us. Jesus makes us wait a little bit before healing takes place. And each time we got to say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Or do we say, I doubt, I have more silent doubt than ever that it'll ever take place. Don't let that happen. Matthew 14:31. I love this one. Why do you doubt? The story is Jesus is going across the water. Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking. And you know the story. He sinks, starts to sink. And Jesus puts his hand down there and grabs him. You know, Jesus didn't have to yank him out of the water, right? See, you think, you know, he would reach down and yank him out because he's like using physical strength. He just looks at him. Why do you doubt? What's on your mind? I'm standing right in front of you, and I'm standing on water. I'm walking on water. Why do you doubt, church? Why do we doubt? What's in our heads? Why do we doubt? We don't need to doubt. No matter what you see in the storm that you were in, you don't need to doubt. There's a hand there saying, what's on your mind? Why are you doubting? I'm still here. Questions that call us to action as we wrap up today. God knows what's on your mind, and he's going to call you to action. John 13:12. Do you understand what I have done for you? Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. Shouldn't they be washing his feet? But see, Jesus humbles himself. You probably know the story. He humbles himself. A lot of humility, a lot of humbleness. And he gets down and he starts washing feet. Feet were really dirty back then. This was a really big deal, right? It's really disgusting. And Jesus is kneeling and he's going to wash feet. Why? What's on your mind? I need you to be a servant, a humble servant. That's the action he calls us to be. Humble servants. Things we see on Wednesday nights here at Cross Point Church. He wants you to be humbled and serve. So he gets on a knee and he starts washing dirty feet to teach us to be humble and serve. What's the action he wants us to do? Be humble. Love one another and serve somebody. Church, what's on your mind today? What is on your mind? I can't read your thoughts. Heaven's reading them. I can't read them. Of all those thoughts in your head, what are you focusing on today? What do you draw out of those thoughts? You say, that's what I'm focused on. Where your heart desires the most, is that where you're at? Is that aligned with heavenly things? Or is that more aligned with earthly things? I'm here to tell you, if you want victory today, you align them more with heavenly things and not earthly things. What's on your mind means what's your thoughts, right? It's meant to draw us into a deeper awareness of who you are in Jesus Christ. That's the question. How deep are you? Are you where you should be? Church, as a church, what's on our mind? As individuals at Cross Point Church, what's on our mind? Are we doing the things we need to do, or we need to do them better? And I want to pray for you today before we leave. But my question is your thoughts today more heavenly or earthly? If you need heaven to adjust your thoughts, those 50 to 60,000 thoughts that keep going through our head, new ones coming in and old ones going out, all those thoughts, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And if you think you need a thought adjustment, as God looks at you and says, what's on your mind? If you just say, Pastor, I know I need a thought adjustment, and I'm going to ask heaven to give me a thought adjustment. If that is you, I just want to pray corporately. I'm not going to call you down front. If that is you, just raise your hand for me. Just raise your hand up high. We're going to have a thought adjustment here. So many hands. Is there anybody else? I will raise my hand with my brothers and my sisters as well. Lord God, give me a thought adjustment today. I don't want to be in the silent doubt category. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Last chance. Thank you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray right now for a thought adjustment. Lord God, you saw the hands raised today. You're asking the question, what's on my mind? You know it. Some of the good things, some of the not so good things. And Lord God, I pray. I raise my hand today as pastor of the church with my brothers and my sisters. Lord God, give us all a thought adjustment today. When you read our mind and you ask the question, what's on your mind today? Let it be exactly what it needs to be. Let my thoughts be displayed to heaven with favor. Lord God, if it's not, I just pray right now for a rearranging of those thoughts. Lord God, I pray and I raise my hand. Lord God, let it be so. Let me get a thought adjustment today as I leave Cross Point Church, as I stand to my feet and I praise your name for a new thing. Lord God, let the new thing be a thought adjustment. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with your pastor. We want a new thing. We want a thought adjustment at Cross Point Church. Let's go out today saying, Lord God, give me a new thing.
I got the new mind, new heart, fresh faith.
Church, go out and think about what you're thinking about.
I got a new